بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اتبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today's topic is what are your priorities in life? And this question is extremely crucial. What are your priorities in life? Or what is your priority in life? And brothers and sisters, I'd like for you and I today to think about this question deeply. Think about it properly, and I tell you why. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, حَاسِبُ أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُ. Hold yourself to accountability, or judge yourself before you are ultimately judged, before you are held accountable on the ultimate day. Al-Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who didn't speak out of his own hawa or his own desire. It was an inspiration sent down, a wahi, sent down to him from above. And he said, judge yourself before you are judged. By whom? Before you are judged by the ultimate judge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day when he will make us all stand, whether we like it or not. On the day Ibrahim alayhi salam will fall on his knees to the ground and he will say, Allahumma sallim, Allahumma sallim. Oh Allah, please give us peace, please give us peace. On that day, when every messenger and prophet will run away from the responsibility of having to answer for us and will say, I will only have myself to worry about. On that day, you will be judged. You will be questioned. You and I will be questioned about every single thing we did, about every single letter we uttered. And yes, I know it's a burdening task. I know it creates a burden upon us right now. But the person who judges himself now is in a better position than whoever neglects themselves. Have you heard of the words of Allah in the Quran? He said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم. They forgot Allah, they neglected Allah, then Allah made them forget themselves, made them forget who they are. And listen to this verse carefully. Allah is talking about those who forgot Him, those who forgot and neglected Allah as their creator and their objective and turned to other things as their objective. Turned to other things as being the most important things to them. Turned to other things which they would strive for and reach instead of Allah. And Allah says, they forgot Allah by being distracted by these other things, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until what? Until Allah made them forget who they even are. Made them forget their own identity. Made them forget who you are and what is your purpose. And where are you heading? نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. They forgot Allah, so Allah made them forget themselves. And this is something natural and normal to occur, as this is the effect of that. The cause is that those people chose to forget Allah. So the result of that naturally equals that a person forgets who he even is. And when you forget who you are, your heart becomes darkened. And when your heart becomes darkened, you and I become unhappy. And when we become unhappy, we want to be happy. And the first thing people usually look happiness in is in the worldly things. The things that can bring them this happiness, satisfaction that they are seeking. And these people go on to lose their sight, their hearing, and they start to lose themselves by going on to intoxicants, to alcohol, to drugs. And a lot of whom we see, like the celebrities and the people we see on the TV, we think that they're living the life. We think that they're having it all, that they're living the best life there is. But what happens to them? Suddenly we hear about some of them, for example, committing a suicide, or we hear someone dying of overdosing with drugs and so on. These types of people, we think they are living the life, and we start to imitate them as thinking that this is where the happiness comes from. But what actually happened to these people, be them Muslim or non-Muslim, they have forgotten themselves. My brothers and sisters in Islam, if we want to know whether Allah is our priority or not, then the first sign that appears in us is a sign only we know about ourselves. No one can know it except the person himself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not your father, not your mother, your siblings or your friends, not your wife or husband or your kids. Only you yourself can know it. And it is when you do not know who you are anymore. Have you ever felt like that? Inshallah, you haven't. But there are many people who forget who they are. An example, a person says, I'm a Christian, I'm a Jew, I'm a Hindu, or I'm a Muslim, whatever they say they are. But, you know, when you ask them the question, why are you of that particular religion? Why do you follow this religion? The common response is, because my father, for example, my father is a Christian. That's why I'm a Christian. Or because I grew up, I was brought up that way. That's why I follow this particular religion. Do you think this person really knows who they are? If a person says to you that he's a Muslim because his parents are Muslim, does he know who he is? Does he know what he's meant to be doing? And even if he knew what he was meant to be doing, does he believe in what he's doing or what he's meant to be doing? Or is he doing it only to please his parents? Or is he doing it to please his culture, his people that are looking at him? Or to people in the masjid who see him going there? Is it doing all of that just to put on a show? The first sign of this hypocrisy is that when he's alone, he has a different identity. When he's alone, he watches things that he normally doesn't watch around other people. When he's alone, he listens to things that he doesn't listen to when other people are with him. When he's alone, he's happy because no one can see him and he can resort to things that Allah hates. And this is one of the other signs when a person doesn't know who they are. Or they think they are something, but actually they're something else. Just putting on the show. So when you ask a person, why are you a Muslim? How many people can give a proper answer? Why have you grown your beard? Why are you wearing a hijab? Why do you pray? I wonder what kind of answers we would get. On the outside, we can all find what we can call politically correct answers, which sound like proper answers. But who am I really? Do I really fit the description that I'm putting myself on? It can be that on the outside, I'm something, but on the inside, I'm something completely different. Here is just an example of how a person knows who they are and what their priority is. It has been narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Man ghadda basarahu an maharimillah, 'awwadahu Allahu imanan yajidu halawatahu fi qalbihi." Which means, whoever lowers his eyes and doesn't look at what Allah has forbidden, Allah will compensate that with the iman, which sweetness he will find in his heart. He will find in his heart this kind of sweetness that Allah puts in it. And the point of this is not just the fact that a person should stop looking at haram things. It's only one thing, it's just an example. But the point here is that when a person stops any act which Allah hates, it means that this person is only wanting the pleasure of Allah in how they use their eyes, for example, or how they use their body, or how they use their time. And as a result, the sign of you being genuine in that you're objective from abstaining from that which Allah hates, by controlling yourself, the sign that it's genuine love for Allah making Him your priority, is that you will find a feeling of sweetness in your heart. And this sweetness, if a person has it, if you give this person anything in this world, you give anything a human being could ever desire or want, it will not make any difference to this person because of the sweetness of iman they feel in their hearts. It's more beloved to them than anything else. So you and I, let us all ask ourselves, when was the last time we felt this sweetness of iman in our hearts? Was it last night? Is it now? Was it a year ago? Or was it 10 years ago? Or when you were a child? When was the last time you really felt this deep sweetness of iman? Where, for example, in the middle of the night, you just felt like waking up when everyone else was sleeping. And you just felt this drive to stand alone, to pray in the dark with a tiny candle or some tiny light. And you don't want anyone to see you. You don't care if anyone sees you or knows that you're praying. You just have this sweetness in your heart, this sweetness, this love to get up and pray to Allah, to speak to Him because you love Him, because of feeling the sweetness that is in your heart and doesn't leave your heart. And it makes you give up your sleep, because the sweetness of what you're doing is more beloved to you than the sleep. So when was the last time you or I felt this particular sweetness? And not only that, but when you were praying at night, you suddenly started crying and you don't know why. The only thing you know is the sweetness inside you is that makes your tears flow out of consciousness and love and communication with Allah, with your Creator. So when was the last time you felt like that? I'll tell you when. It was the time when you felt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly your only objective and your only priority in this life, in your whole entire life. I'll give you an example of people who are far away from Allah when they feel the sweetness. And do you want to know when? I'm talking about a kafir, a disbeliever, a random disbeliever who knows the truth of Allah and rejects him directly. And let me tell you about a time he or she will feel this kind of sweetness, this closeness to Allah, when no other priority exists but the priority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in the Quran, and Allah talks about some people on a ship in the middle of the ocean, and he talks about it in different verses. But in one of these verses, he talks about the ship when the waves begin to hit the ship and it begins to sink, and this person on the ship is a disbeliever, and Allah says, وَجَاءَهُمُ الْمَوْجُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ أُحِيطَ بِهِمْ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ لَئِنْ أَنْجَيْتَنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. There comes a storm. The wind and the waves come upon them from everywhere, and they assume that they are surrounded. So they assume that they are going to sink, they're going to die, and there's no way to escape it. And they're going to drown. And suddenly they turn to Allah and they start supplicating Allah, sincere to Him in religion. And they say, if you should save us from this, we will surely be among the thankful. We will be amongst the first who believe in you and the first to do good deeds. Allah says, فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاهُمْ إِذَا هُمْ يَبَغُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And in another verse, Allah says, but when He saves them, at once they commit injustice upon the earth without right. And in another verse, Allah says, وَمَا يَجْحَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا كُلُّ خَتَّارٍ كَفُورٍ. And none rejects our signs except everyone treacherous and ungrateful. As soon as they got off that ship to the land, as soon as Allah saved them, they went back to disbelief. They went back to the shirk. They went back to doing all that which Allah has forbidden. And this is the reality. So now, when does Allah really become our objective, our priority? When our lives are at stake? Do we really want to be like a person who is a disbeliever in Allah, and the only time we make Allah our priority is when we have nothing else to look forward to, when everything has been taken away from us? Is it only then that we look to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do we look to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also when He has given us everything? When we look around us and we know that alhamdulillah, I'm fine, whether I have it or don't have it. Because at the end of the day, my priority is the hereafter. My priority is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from us? Let us begin with this hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat." We've all heard this hadith, which means, as a matter of, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins, "Innama," as a matter of fact, and "innama," it literally means as a matter of fact, like whatever you thought, neglect it, forget about it. As a matter of fact, the truth is, it says, all actions are judged by the intentions. So whatever act you do, it comes down to the intention. And yes, there are correct acts and there are wrong acts, but the condition for an act to be accepted is that you have to have two things. You have to have the correct intention And you have to have the correctness of the act, the deed. So, but let's say that this person is ignorant about the correct action, and he doesn't know, and he tries the best with all that Allah has given to him, and this little knowledge he has, he's doing his best. Then what does really matter at that time? It's the intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. And every person will receive only in accordance with what they intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So whoever goes out, and the Prophet ﷺ here gives an example, and it applies to everything. Just a scenario. He says, whoever, for example, wanted to migrate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their objective is for Allah and his messenger, for example, they are migrating to like practice their deen better somewhere else, or they're escaping disbelief or oppression against their religion to find a place where they can practice it properly, then they are migrating for Allah and his messenger, or to take part of some charitable work, to go and help orphans, for example, for whatever reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. If it's a migration for Allah and his messenger, then it's a migration for Allah and his messenger. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. And that's what they will receive. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيًا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. And whoever wants to migrate, and also just giving an example of migration as one of the many examples, in order to earn something of this dunya, he wants to migrate because of business, because of work, and that's all okay. But if that is the intention, then you will receive what you intended for. Or imra'atin yankihuha, or to go and get married, for example, somewhere where they migrate to a woman to live there, to build a family, fahijratuhu ila ma hajara ilayhi. Then their migration is for which they migrated for. Brothers and sisters, what is this hadith telling us? It is telling us that everyone will receive that which they originally intended for. And there is nothing wrong with seeking the dunya, seeking a woman to marry or a man to marry, seeking some type of business. Nothing wrong with all that. Allah hasn't forbidden that. Seeking the beauty of this world and halal wealth, a nice home, nice clothing, etc., Allah has not forbidden that for believers. And some people think that if you want to be a good Muslim, you can't have nice clothes, you can't have a nice car, you can't have a good, you know, good building, good house, the home to live in. But all that, it's false. It's not true. There's no reason why a Muslim cannot enjoy this life a little bit. The Prophet ﷺ and all the prophets and the companions, there was no harm in them laughing a little sometime. The Prophet ﷺ would gather sometimes around the Fajr time, after the Fajr. And the companions, they would speak about things that made the Prophet ﷺ smile and laugh. And they did it in the halal way. So as long as we do things in the halal way and we gain our health, our wealth in halal ways, there's no harm in it. And we should also make our religion easy for us. We shouldn't make it hard. Some people think that, or they say like, you know, there's hasana for every step you take to the masjid, so you should walk to the masjid, even though there's like 40 degrees outside. Or in our case, maybe it's like minus 20. He says, no, you have to walk because you get hasana for every deed. So this person maybe goes there one time, but maybe next time he doesn't go because it was too cold, it was too hot. But we have to make it easy for him. We have to make the religion easy for ourselves. We have these buses and trams, whatever, we can go with the car. So let's go with the car. Sometimes less means more eventually. Because when a person gets into habit of, for example, just an example of attending the masjid and praying there, he gets a bigger reward for that. If he does it regularly, than just coming one time on his foot and then neglecting it altogether because of the heat or the cold, etc. So there is nothing wrong with seeking this dunya. But it's important that every worldly belonging you want to have, choose only the halal ones. That's an important condition. but at the end of the day, you receive that which you intended for. However, the ultimate objective for a person should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to abstain, to stay away from the things that He has forbidden. This is the ultimate goal for a believer. So the question is, what is your priority? If everything is based on attention, then guess what? The outside appearance becomes insignificant if the intention is incorrect. Now ask yourselves these questions. Why do you grow your beard? Why do you wear hijab? Why do you pray? Why do you take part in some charitable events? Why do you take part in lectures? Why do you do all these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala normally loves? And I'm not judging anyone. I rather need to ask myself all the same questions. But what I'm trying to do is to reach to the hearts and help myself and you to judge yourself before Allah judges all of us. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah constantly reminds us of the hereafter. And He reminds us of the good and the bad of it. Only because He cares for us and He wants us to prepare for it. A man came to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Mata sa'a? When is the last hour going to come?" And what was the reply of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did he tell him that it's on this day, it's on that day, it's when this thing happens, it's when that thing happens? No. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked him a question as an answer. He replied with a question. And the man asked, when is the last hour? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered with a question. He said, just three words. Ma adatta laha. What have you prepared for it? Three simple words, but they mean so much. What have you prepared for it? Ma adatta laha. So the man is asking when the world is going to end. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him, what have you prepared for it? So you see, I don't think the man was going to live to see the end of the world. He wasn't going to live that long to prepare for it. So I wonder why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking him what he has prepared for it, as though he's telling him that you're going to live till that end. But what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying is that there are two meanings to the end. Number one is the end of this whole universe. And the number two is every single individual has an appointed time when he or she will die. And what have you prepared for your death? What have you prepared for the meeting with your Lord? That is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant. Brothers and sisters in Islam, if a person lives life with death in mind, meaning with the hereafter in mind, what will they ultimately be working for then? They'll be working for something which is lasting, not something that is temporary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this world in a temporary language. He says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And this life of this dunya, this worldly life, is nothing but two things, مَتَاعُ and غُرُورِ. And مَتَاعُ means enjoyment, and غُرُورِ, it means deception. So this enjoyment, this entertainment, it's temporary, and not only is it temporary, but it's also deceiving, it's not even real. So you know, when we're here and we're talking about the hereafter, to us now, when we live in this life, it seems like a dream. It seems like a fantasy. Something we don't really get affected by because it's not really right now. We don't really see it right now. But Allah is telling us that it's actually the opposite. You're going to feel in the hereafter that this world you actually saw as a reality, that this world was the fantasy. This world we live in right now, this was the imaginary world. This was the thing that was just a dream. Alas, and truly it will be like that. And one question that will be asked, one question that Allah will ask on the Day of Judgment is, Allah says, قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. Allah will say, how long did you remain on earth in number of years? And they will say, we remained a day or a part of a day. They say they feel like they lived only for a day or just a part of a day. And this is when people begin to regret. This is what I complained about, a day or a part of a day. This is which I wasted. This temporary time is why I was worried. I was complaining about how many prayers I have to pray. I was complaining about all the things that I have to do in Islam. This was the time I gathered and hoarded all this money and forget about sadaqah and zakah and the rights of others just for a day or a part of a day. For this little time, I neglected my salah, my prayer. For this little time, I was behaving bad with my brothers and sisters or with my family. For this little time, I was complaining about some sickness I had and I blamed Allah for it. And I complained, why do I have it? For this little time, that was just a day or part of a day, I wasted my time and sold my hereafter for this world. Allah says, يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. On that day, man will remember. يَتَذَكَّر reflects and remembers and ponders. They will understand and they will come to a conclusion which is definite. But Allah says, وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. But what does this benefit him? What good to him will this remembrance be then? What will all of this benefit to him or her on that day? On that day, a man will realize that they have mixed their priorities. The everlasting for the temporary. So the question is, what is your priority? And judge yourself before you are judged. So may Allah make us of those people who know their priorities and work to achieve the everlasting happiness and bliss in the hereafter. Amen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. Amen.